That's unfair. Raise your hand if you have heard that spoken by your children to you. Do parents really get more lax with the second and third and fourth children? You think? I don't ever remember thinking while growing up, really. I don't remember thinking, that's not fair. My sister always gets things that I didn't get. She always has it easier than I did. And I'm the younger of the children. I'm sure my sister thought of that. I have heard, not like through the grapevine, I have heard in my family and, well, from countless others, the repeated phrase, that's not fair, when it comes to, you know, a younger child getting a privilege granted or restriction removed earlier than it had come for the child before, like when they were the same age. You hear that? Did you say that? Does it happen in every family? Come on, some of you have kids who are, yeah, that's not fair, that's not fair, that's not fair, and the youngest one always is like, it's fair. Everything's great. I think this is great. I get everything. It happens in my family, and of course the non-pastoral and the not really good parental thing that comes into my mind to say is, you know, life isn't fair, get over it. Because, now how many of you have said that? Or at least wanted to say that? And then Jesus told them the parable of the angry son. Do you know that parable, the parable of the angry son? Yeah, it's the same one. I know. You think that I mean the parable of the prodigal son, and you wonder, does prodigal mean angry? Does it? Or did you think that prodigal meant recklessly extravagant or something like that? The son took his inheritance and was recklessly extravagant about how he spent it. He blew through it and then came crawling back to his father, who welcomed him back with open arms. And prodigal doesn't mean angry. At all. Well, it doesn't mean recklessly extravagant either. It doesn't mean ungrateful or selfish or irresponsible or any of those words. Okay, that's not true. It does. It means most of those words. And it means excessive. It means wasteful, wanton, intemperate, too. So it's got all of that context there. But the word prodigal, it's got a background that's similar to another word. Not the same word, but a background that's similar. Prodigal, from prodigus, if you pronounce it that way, or it's Latin. Rich, extravagant, to abound in, profuse. It's prodigus. And then there's prodigy, from another Latin word. I think it's pronounced prodigium, some would say prodigium, but I know that's wrong. Prodigium, but a monster or an unnatural thing. Prodigy comes from a word for a monster or an unnatural thing or a sign that some calamity was going to happen. Like a gifted child, a prodigy, might have scared or still might scare people thinking like something awful is going to happen because this person shouldn't know all this or shouldn't be talented like that. So it's P-R-O-D-I-G. Sounds like a cheer, right? P-R-O-D-I-G, that's the way we say it, see? P-R-O-D-I-G. Woo, yeah, there you go. Oh, come on, come on. If I say P-R-O-D-I-G, that's the way we say it, see? P-R-O-D-I-G. Woo. There, okay, you've been to a football game, you've been to a basketball game. I knew you had. Extravagant. Unnatural, profuse, something that might scare folks immensely. See, the prodigal son abounded in money, and he wasted it. The prodigal son was gifted with a reckless welcome from his father. The prodigal son deserved horrible treatment, but instead he was lavished with a feast. There is a connection because prodigal, you know, you can see it kind of both ways. But I said that the parable I was going to talk about was the parable of the angry son. So that's the other son. So we're going to talk about that. You know, we sometimes try to put ourselves in the different positions. You know, if I was the father, what would I do? If I was the older son, if I was the younger son. So focusing on the older son, the son who stayed home and worked hard. Raise your hand if you work hard. And you should get what you deserve, and people who don't deserve it shouldn't get it. Go ahead. The son who was faithful and true. Raise your hand if you're faithful and true. Just a couple? Wow. The son who looked at what his father was doing for the wasteful, selfish monster and got angry. Raise your hand if you've ever gotten angry because something wasn't fair. Not necessarily the younger child, but, you know, just in life. I've gotten it too. Come on, everyone's got to raise your hand for that. You've gotten angry because something wasn't fair. And the father responded to his angry son, "Life isn't fair. Get over it," right? No, he didn't. He didn't say that. Instead, the father heard the anger of the son right away. Whether or not he thought it was justified, he said this. He said, "You are always with me, and everything I have is yours." That's his response to the son's anger. Well, we might be tempted, or we might want to, or it might even be right to say, "Life isn't fair. Get over it." It's not the message of this parable for the angry son. See, parables, they give us glimpses as to what God is like. They aren't exact. They're meant to make us think, but they give us this little glimpse. And so God is like a parent who welcomes us back no matter what. God is like a parent who celebrates that we're back no matter what we've done or where we've been. That's one glimpse there. That's what God is like. But also, God is like a parent who hears our anger and our feelings of entitlement and our disdain towards people who seem to get things when they don't deserve them. And God says, "You are always with me, and everything I have is yours." That's what God is like. And you wonder, how can God welcome us back and also hear the anger of the other people who are mad that we're getting welcomed back, or hear our anger when other people are getting welcomed back, and say the same thing to both? Because the younger son, maybe he wasn't worried about the older son being angry. It doesn't talk about that. But the older son, it looked like he had it sort of set out there. You cannot be glad that this son has returned and still be with me. I've worked like a slave, and what do you? You never even gave me a goat. But God isn't a, you know, either or kind of situation like that. God doesn't come from a place that says, "This is all there is. If I give it to them, there isn't enough for you. If I love you, it means I can't love or forgive them." See, with God, and this is what God is like, there isn't an us or them. There really isn't. Even though God, you know, favors helping the poor and helping the exploited, but there isn't an us or them with God. And with God, there isn't enough to do this. We have plenty of opportunities for there isn't enough with our bills and with, you know, keeping the lights on at the church and keeping the heat on and doing the ministries that we want to do. But with God, there's no such thing as there isn't enough. Because God loves, God forgives, God blesses, God has mercy on, God offers compassion to. God is God to all. And that's what God is like. Glimpses from the parables. God is God to all. No matter what. Even if you're still angry. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for blessing. Thank you for hearing our anger. Thank you for loving us no matter what. Amen.